good to be here today. I've been doing this for 43 years, now I'm 42, but 43. Well, I know I don't look that old, do I? Therefore, I started when I was 2. Well, I've been all over the country. I have literally spoken in every state in the United States. But I love coming to Texas, the Lone Star State. I've been all over Houston and many different churches, but I'm so thankful that I'm with you today. In fact, I love Texas. Do you know that? In fact, do you know Texas is my favorite state to come to? Let me say it one more time. Texas is my favorite state to go to. Now when I go to Georgia, I'd say Georgia, my favorite state. I'm all things to all people. I have literally learned whatever state I'm in, I'm content. How many of you know by now? I have a speech impediment. I forgot I'm in Texas. Everybody in Texas had a speech impediment. If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart in Texas, I think I'm in an assembly of God's church. Everybody is speaking in unknown tongues. Somebody asked me early on in my ministry, David, are you Baptist? Yep, I am. David, do you speak in tongues? Yep, I do. Do you speak in unknown tongues? Absolutely. Every time I open my mouth, they are unknown to many people. Amen? I love you. And let me say, I'm going to be here this morning, tonight, and tomorrow night. And I will tell you up front, if you miss any service, you're going to miss God. Because I know what God can do if a church only bless God. We sing, don't we? God bless America. But let me change that. America bless God. And you will not bless God anymore by assembling yourself together, and I'm not asking you to come, I'm begging you to come. Because I know what God's going to do. Amen? How many of you ever been to Walmart? both ends. I told my wife the other day, baby doll, when I die, bury me at Walmart. She said, say what? When I die, bury me at Walmart. She said, what for? I'd say, if I die, you'll bury me in a dumb cemetery with a bunch of dead people, you won't come see me. But if you bury me at Walmart, you will be there every day. Can I get a witness? You got your Bible today, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Today, I want to deal with the subject to begin the mini revival. How can you and I overcome? How can you and I overcome? Yes, I believe with all my heart, every one of you have something to overcome. From the day I was born, I had something to overcome, which is cerebral palsy. Maybe you may not have cerebral palsy today, but I guarantee you, every one of you have something to overcome. I struggle daily. Every time I get up, every time I put on my shirt, it takes me 45 minutes to button my shirt. Because button and cerebral palsy don't go together. You know, these buttons, I despise them. And the button under the knot of my tie, that button is from the pit of hell. And I don't need you to amen to say that. But thank God, we have the Word of God to help us overcome. Chapter 12, verse 7. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. They overcame him, overcame who? Overcame the devil, overcame Satan. And people, if they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, we can overcome the devil now. By the way, I love to say, I love people to feedback. If you don't say amen, I don't think I'm coming through. If I don't think I'm coming through, I got to say it again and again and again. And if you want to be out by one, are we on the same page? Amen? And by the way, I never preach long. Never. If I go overtime, it's because they sing too long. I got to blame somebody, Bill. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I believe in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash me white as snow, you tell me. There was power in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible said, without the blood, we will have no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Number two, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, every one of you have a story. You have a testimony. And therefore, if you don't tell your story, you will not overcome. Therefore, if you don't tell your story every day, you won't overcome it every day. The more you tell your story, the more you overcome. I believe with all my heart, I overcame every time I give my story. You say, preacher, that is impossible for me to tell my story. Why? Well, it's too long. No, it's not. I'm about to tell you your story. Do you want to? I'm about ready to tell your story in three words. I am blessed. You say, preacher, you don't know where I've been. No, I don't. I know one thing. You are blessed today. Amen? You say, well, I'm going through hell in my life today. Well, you might be going through hell in your life today, but you are going through hell today blessed. That's good stuff. So let's proclaim our story together. One, two, three. I am blessed. Say it again. Say it again. Louder. Louder than that. One more time. Therefore, the next time somebody come up to you and ask you, how are you, just say, I'm blessed. And leave out the other details. They don't give a rip. I know I've been working with them for 43 years. I'm so afraid to ask church people how they're doing. Number one, I'm afraid they're going to tell me. Number two, I don't want to know. How you doing, man? Oh, my back killing me. How you doing, so? I don't think I'm going to make it today. That's pitiful. Every little pain you and I go through, you'd say, whoa, it's me, whoa, it's me, whoa, it's my feet, whoa, it's my leg, whoa, it's my back, whoa, it's my head. Oh, get over it. Take a number and get in line. Amen? Amen? So many people say, I have a handicap. No, I don't. I have a platform to tell my story, which is, I am blessed. Some people think, I have a disability. I don't have a disability either. I got a platform to tell my story, which is, I am blessed. Some people think, I have a problem. I don't have a problem. I have an opportunity to tell my story, which is, I am blessed. Some people think, I have a burden to bear. I don't have a burden to bear. I have a blessing to share. Cerebral palsy is a blessing. May I say it one more time? Cerebral palsy is a blessing. May I prove it? May I?
Yes.
I'm the only man alive, been the four children, and never changed one diaper. I'm blessed! I remember when my wife was having our baby, she would give him one every now and then and say, he'll go change the da-da-da. I'd say, I have cerebral palsy. And she was dumb enough to believe it. My wife know if I change the double, it'd be all over the wall. So I leave diapers alone. Duh. Now don't you wish you have sleeper palsy? Look at my life. I was born in Jonesboro, Arkansas, 1953. Born there for 18 minutes. When I was born, I was a stillborn baby. I was a blue baby. I was a dead baby. And because my mom had complications at birthday, they took my dead body and put it on the table. And I lay on the table for 18 minutes. Not 18 seconds, 18 minutes. Can you remember? I was there for 18 minutes. I'm not supposed to be here today. I'm supposed to be a vegetable. But I'm not a vegetable. Because it's not over until God say it's over. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Amen? When I was 11 years old, my daddy died. My daddy got sick. 2 weeks later, my daddy died with cancer of the liver. Well, I'm the baby of eight. I'm the baby of eight. And I'm not only the baby, but I'm a number one mama baby boy. You can tell me. You can tell by looking at me. I'm a mama boy because I got the mama baby face. You know the face only a mom can love. You've been there too, huh? Boy, some of you look like you've been beaten with a ugly stick. You know what I mean? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. He told me to tell you that. But being a special needs guy like I am, my mama overcompensated for everything in my life. My mama fed me because when I feed myself, the food bar, my spoon and my fork, and therefore my mama fed me. My mama talked for me because every time I'm in public, people, I will open my mouth to speak. Nobody could understand me. Therefore, mama did everything for me. Life was wonderful until the age of 14. My mom got sick. And my mom went in the hospital the day before Mother's Day, 1968, to have an operation on the neck. A simple operation, no big deal. The doctor came to my family, and I, 2 months later, and say, your mom will never come home again. She got cancer all throughout the body because the lump we removed 4 years ago, it came back in the neck, and your mom gonna die. I thought, no, not my mama. My mama not gonna die. My mama told me every day, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. I will always be there for you. You can always count on mama. I will always defend you. My mama can die because my mama is the only one on earth that loves me. Judge the way I am. But in October October 16th, 1968, my mama drew her last breath. And I saw my mama go from 185 pounds to 57 pounds. And when my mama died, I died. I didn't want to live. I did not know who to believe in. My mama lied to me. My mama told me I will never abandon you, but yes, she did the ultimate abandonment. My mom told me she always will defend me, but people look at me and point their finger and say, look, that boy walk funny, look, that boy talk funny, it's no fun to be made fun of. And I couldn't go home to my mama. And I couldn't say, Mama, somebody made fun of me. She couldn't put her arm around me and make all better people look at me. I was 14, 15 years old. I was dying a slow death of loneliness. And the sister that took me in after my mom died, my biological sister, that 14 years older than me, she molested me for 2 years. And she told me sick stuff, like mom wanted me to do this to you. I told mama, I'm going to take care of you. I'm only doing what mama wanted. And people, I feel guilty and I feel ashamed and I did not do anything. You know, do you remember the song? And by the way, my sister went to church every time the door opened. People in the church thought my sister was a saint. But people, when you violate somebody like she violated me, she took away every innocence about me. And I attempted suicide every other day for 2 years. I wonder why. Thank God, God did not allow me to go through my plan. Thank God, it's not over until God say it's over. I'm a firm believer in that. And do you remember the song, Whoa, 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 You Boat Gently Down the Stream? Do you remember that? Sing the chord for me. Melly, Melly, Melly. Whoa, 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 you boat. Life is but a dream. Whoever wrote that is a idiot. Life is more than a dream. Life is a nightmare. You've been there? Done that? But thank God, one night I went to church just to get my sister away from me. I knew she was coming in my room. And I left and I walked down to a Baptist church and to below the lights on. They were having a revival. And I came in the door of the church and please give me a personal point of difference. When I came through the door, God said, yep. You were on time. I knew you were coming today. And it said, angel, angel, come over here. Every one of you, real quick. See that 16-year-old boy? That was the dead baby. Do you remember that angel? Well, 16-year-old, he is so lonely. But angel, what he don't know, I'm about ready to turn his world upside down. I'm about ready to change his life. I'm about ready to make all things new, because tonight a baby boy is going to be born. Strike of the band. What does the Bible say? And when a soul is born, there is rejoicing going on in ever. And praise God, without a doubt in my mind, Mama led the children forth. And she said, my boy, it's going to be okay. God took away my old things and gave me new things. God took away my loneliness and gave me happiness, because I was born again on April 17th, 1970. And God took away my soul and gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at me. I still walk with a limp. I still talk funny. But all the joy that floods my soul, because Jesus touched me and made me a whole. I'm not the same anymore. I've been changed by the power of God. I have cerebral palsy, but thank God, cerebral palsy don't have me. I overcame it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, which is and will always be, I am blessed. People come up to me and say, preacher, don't you want to be normal? I look at them and say, what's normal? You think you're normal? You got a long way to go, buddy. And many of you not gonna make it. Amen. People come up to me and say, David, do you believe in divine healing? Yep. Do you believe God can heal anybody? Yep. Do you believe God can heal you of cerebral palsy? Yep. But if we don't, I hallelujah anyway. Amen. And by the way, if God does heal me physically, who is he going to make me look like? You? Forget it. I take what I have in a day over that. You're welcome. I went back to school, the public school. I was a junior in high school, and they were so dumbfounded by the change of my attitude, they had to call together an old school assembly, and they wanted me to tell the 1,400 student body my story. I got on stage, and remember that many of them called me every name other than my own. And I got on stage that day. I said, young people, I want to do an old-fashioned revival. I gave my life to God. I don't understand that, but I know one thing. I don't want to die like I did before. And now, because I found someone worth living for. Number two, I found I'm worth dying for. If you only embrace that you worth dying for, it will change everything about you. Amen. And you know what they did? The school voted me to be the most popular boy in the student body. Pretty good, huh? They voted me to be Minister of School Spirit. They voted me to be the vice president of my class. I even beat out a good-looking cheerleader. And I got the yearbook to prove it. I'm the only 62-year-old boy, man, you've known that been out of school over 45 years that still got the yearbook on the cover table. And the older I get, I fall in love with the yearbook again. Huh? They voted me to be Minister's good spirit. They voted me to be the vice president of my class. And you know the job of a vice president? It's to pick out pigeons to go into the yearbook. I chose every pigeon. Duh. That's why I'm on every other page. I might be dumb, but not stupid. They voted me to be the football, basketball, and track manager. Look at me. I learned three things back in the day. Being the manager of a football team, if I did not do my job, nobody else could do their job. If I did not do my job as a manager, nobody else could do their job. Number two, I found out it takes everybody to make a team. Huh? Number three, I learned I could never be a quarterback. But watch this now. I could always help someone to be the best quarterback in the nation. Wow. God allowed me to be involved in a bigger picture than I. In church, people, what will happen in our church today if we adopted that? Number one, if you don't do your job in the church, what God called you to do, nobody else could do their job as well. Number two, it takes everybody to make a great church. Number three, God might not call you to be a pastor. God might not call you to be an associate or a music guy. But God did call you to be an encourager. And that's something everybody can do. Amen? It's time to get out of the stands and get on the playing field. It's time to get the lead out and put the Lord in. It's time to get off your blessed assurance. You're welcome. It's time to quit manga excuses. It's time to do what God called you to do as a child of God in and through the local church. Look at me. Some of you need to sing, don't you? There are 30 children up there. I'm a firm believer there should be 30 people singing. Well, I don't sing anymore because somebody hurt my feelings. Well, whippity-doody, you big baby. Don't let the door numb. Here you as you live today. You're welcome. It's time to get in the game. It's time to lay aside every excuse. You say, David, you don't know my story. Yes, I do. I am blood, and so are you. They told me I would never be a preacher, but I am. Preachers told me I would never make it. I've only been doing it 43 years. I might not make it. They said, David, nobody will invite you to their church to speak. Look at me. I have spoken in over 7,600 different churches. Glory to God, only by His grace. And people, I remember once in the morning, I came down the aisle of the church, gave my preacher the hand, and said, "Preacher, God called me to preach." He looked at me and said, "David, it's a figma of your imagination. Go back to your seat." Tonight, I came again. I said, "Preacher, God called me to preach." He said, "David, I told you once. Now I'm telling you twice. It's a figma of your imagination. God did not call you to preach. Now go back and sit down." Wednesday night, I came again. By the way, I love to sit in different locations. You know why? Because I want the devil to look for me. I said, "Preacher, God coming to preach." He looked at me and said, "I told you twice. Now I'm telling you for the third time and the last time, God did not call you to preach. God will never call you to preach. God can't use anybody like you in the pulpit. Go back to your seat and don't come again." What will you do in that situation? You will leave the church that day, and on your way out of the church, you will say either out loud or under your breath, "The hell with the church." You know what I did? Sunday morning. Sunday morning. By the way, when you are born dead for 18 minutes, and when you have cerebral palsy, you can play deaf anytime you need to. I remember dumb, but not stupid. I said, "Preacher, God coming to preach. I know you are not going to believe in. Therefore, I'm telling you today, I'm going to spend my life making you eat coal." And I'm happy to tell you, my 88-year-old pastor for 43 years, he's been chowing down. What would happen if I left the church? Huh? Number two, why do you leave a church? I wonder what my preacher thought when I turned on the TV and heard me on Dr. Falwell, John Hagin, Robert Shuler, been with those guys many times. Wonder what he done when I turned on the radio and hear me give my story on Dr. Dobson, focused on the family. May I tell you what he did? Because he told me, he said, "David, I was driving down the interstate and I turned on the radio and I heard your voice, and I had to pull over to the side because my tears were blinding me. David, will you forgive me? I said, don't need to. You've done me a favor. You've been fought for my faith. I have tough faith today because of your discouragement. Folks, don't major on the minor, major on the positive. Amen. Amen. If God can use me, God can use anybody. Do you know this is the only thing I do for a living? I'm not on a church staff. I'm not on a church people. I'm not on anybody's people. I go from church to church, from town to town. I don't go to a church on a set amount either. I go to a church on a free will love offering. You know what that means, don't you? If you don't give, I don't eat. Duh. That's the truth. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to get today. I don't have a clue what you're going to give me in the love of it. But I know one day I'm having the time of my life. Do you know I could be on welfare? I could be on disability. You could be paying my way whether you want to or not. And if you don't give, I will be on welfare. They told me I will never finish college, but I did. I crammed 4 years and 5. They told me I will never ride a bicycle, but I do without training wheel. They told me I will never drive a car, but I do, because I'm just dumb enough to believe the book. And the book says I can do all things through Christ, which gave me the strength. Amen? They told me I will never find a wife. My own family said, David, you won't ever find a wife. Why not? No woman will love you. Why not? You're not good enough to be loved. No woman will love you because you are not good enough. But thank God, said Timothy 5:1, God had another plan. And I stood down at the First Baptist Church of St. Charles Montour, and I looked through the double door, the double door open wide, and all of a sudden, I saw a beautiful bride walking down the aisle toward me, beaming from ear to ear, and she was dynamite. I might be crippled in my body, but my eyes are A-okay. And I said, I do. She said, I do. And we did. And we've been doing it for 34 years. Duh. Every day is a miracle. They told me I would never be a daddy. But my wife called me 5 weeks after the wedding. And she said, babe, I went to the doctor today and I'm pregnant. And I said the most stupid thing a husband can say to a wife. How could that be? And my wife picked up on that and said, I don't know. Tell me, big boy. Every time I look at my wife, she got pregnant. After the fourth one, I walk around my house. Baby, I love you, but I'm not looking at you. Ain't that good? I'm a dad to three girls and one boy. Ava is 34-year-old. I have three children of her own. Ashley, our second daughter, is 31-year-old. Is Mary, named my boy, my only boy, is 28-year-old. My son is single. My son is available. And I'll be taking an application. And Amy Joy, the baby of the family, Amy Joy, she's 26-year-old, and she graduated from high school in May 2008 only by the grace of God. Amy either going to put me in the grave or in a mental ward. I thought cerebral palsy was tough to live with until she came along. She looked at me one day and said, "Well, Daddy, I did not ask to be born." I said, "Yeah, you better thank God, because if you did ask to be born, I would say no." Can I get a witness? Amy graduated from Belmont University in Nashville with a 3.5 GPA. She is a registered nurse at St. Thomas Hospital on the ICU cardiac ward. See what I done? She got the diploma. I didn't get anything. Duh. But look at me. I think they have a picture to show you. Ain't that good? Huh? If you don't believe in the power of God, look at that picture. Look what God has done. God gave me back a stolen territory. My wife, I can't believe she looked that young. Is she in the strap? And by the way, she only 7 years younger than me. I want to tell you, I did not rob the cradle. April, the older in the green, Ashley looked just like a mama on the other end. And guess who in the blue? Amy Joy. But every time I look at the picture, all I can say, I am blessed. What would happen if I left the church at the age of 19? God so loved me. I thank God every day for the death of my mom, because if my mama did not die, my four children would not be born. If my mama did not die, I would never be able to find a wife. If my mama did not die, I would never answer the call to preach. But God so loved me, he had to work out little details to bring me where I am today. This coming November, they're coming out with a movie. And the name of the movie is The Boy Born Dead. And the movie's going to be about my life. We're going to be in theaters all over America. Huh? Can you imagine watching me on the big screen? I don't know who's going to play me, but I just feel sorry for the dude. But I told my children, I said, they make a movie about your dad and you. And my children asked, how much money are they going to pay you? I said, nothing. It's a $10 million project, and I'm not making a dime. I signed my name away. I gave away my life story, and I'm not making a dime. My son spoke up and said, Dad, they made a movie about you and Mom years ago. They did what? Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. I'd say I might be dumber, but I'm still your ATM machine. And that's why he did not get in the picture. I might be dumb, but not stupid. But look at me today. What are you doing today for the kingdom of God? Are you giving all you have? Can you do some more? What is it going to take for you to believe God that all things are possible? And today I want to give an invitation, very simple. I need every one of you pay attention to what I'm about to say. In a moment, nobody's going to sing. We're not going to sing. Nobody going to play even. And that's strange. And I want every one of you to stand to your feet in a moment. And when you stand to your feet, I want every one of you who's not doing all you can for the kingdom of God today, I want you to step out in an aisle. And come, I'm going to ask Pastor Hill to come in a moment. I want you to come to him and say, Preacher, I'm making myself more available to God today. And then go back to your seat. You'd say, Preacher, can I make that decision? In my seat? Nope. Because the man of God asked them, the people of God, to respond to the message of God. And I believe with all my heart, when God's people get available to God, people are going to get saved by leaps and bounds. So do you understand the invitation? Do you? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Do y'all understand it? Yeah. Are you ready to come? I'm going to ask nobody to leave the auditorium. Don't even think about leaving. You'd say, Peter, you know what time it is? Yep, I sure do. It's time for you to come and make yourself more available. It's later than you think. You know why I came to South Avenue? To give you one more wake-up call. Please, don't hit the snooze button in the morning. Are you ready to come? Are you ready to come? Every one of you that I'm doing all you can do for the kingdom of God. And people, I'm begging you to come, because one day you're going to see the invitation again. That same invitation. Are you ready to come? Pastor L, I want you to come. Jim, you told me you've been ill for 30 years. I want you to stand over ill. And are you ready to come? I will be the first one. I'm making myself more available to God.
Thank you, Brother.
Are you ready to come? Stand on your feet and start walking. Don't let anybody leave. And by the way, open your mouth and say, I'm making myself more available to God. Shake your hands. It's not good enough. The Bible says the mouth is open unto salvation. Pastor, I'm begging you to make them say that. Don't want anybody to leave. Some of you can come to gym. Open your mouth. I want to be more available to God today. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Because when I was 19 years old, I said, God, if you can use me with cerebral palsy, I'm available. That's been 43 years ago, and I kept my commitment. She blessed too. Don't forget to open your mouth and say, I'm making myself more available. God bless you, sir. Don't anybody leave, please. We will be leaving together. You don't have to shake hands with both of them. Thank you for being patient today. Don't anybody leave. We are about to leave together. Please show respect to God. Now look at Bill. Look at Bill. Focus. You say, David, do you think everybody mean business? Absolutely not. But the majority of you did mean business. And you, when the devil give you a tough time, tell him, the devil, to go to hell. Amen. It's legal. Amen? Jim, let me ask you, you've been here 30 years? Over? Have you ever seen anything like this? In 30 years. Huh? You've seen nothing like that in 4 years. No, it's not about me. It's not about them. It's all about him. And we are laying a foundation today to build on tonight. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message. I guarantee you, every one of you will leave changed by the power of God. Every time I preach it, the altar is packed. Do not mince tonight. If you mince tonight, you will mince God. Huh? God might want to bless you tonight. if you don't come to church tonight, God can't bless you. I love you. Are you happy you can see it, man? Yeah. If you're really happy you came to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you love me?
Yes.
If you love me, wave at me. Wave big. Everybody love me but two women. They don't love you either, Jim. But I love you, and in a moment,